I'm Meredith.
I'm Elise.
And this is your 20s. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the This Is Your 20s podcast. My name is Meredith Breida, and I'm here with my best friend,
Elise Haskell. What's up?
Yeah, and today we have a very, very special guest. This is my boyfriend, Jay. Aww. Jay is here on our podcast today. We are going to talk mainly about sports for him and kind of an alternative career paths. And we'll get into that a little bit, but he's going to tell us kind of about his life growing up with sports, and it'll all make sense when we actually get into the content of the episode. But yeah, Jay is my boyfriend. Do you want to tell them about yourself? Like,
Jay,
what's your elevator speech?
In the room.
Jay Klein, number 9.
Well, my name is Jay. I'm 22 years old, and I believe I'm here to talk about my career choice after DePaul, which is to try and pursue a professional soccer career.
Nice.
Yeah. So whatever you guys want to talk
where,
about.
Like, where are you from?
I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay. What are your favorite things to do? Like, give me, like, a more than
what's
just
what's your
soccer.
Major at DePaul?
I'm a communications major, and I don't know. I grew up just playing all different kinds of sports, and then I also love music. I play guitar. Yeah, so music, sports.
Tell us about your life growing up in soccer, with soccer.
That's so serious. No, actually give your sports history and then how you chose soccer.
Mm-hmm. So my mom always tells me that she knew I was an athlete when I was very young, and I think at like age 3 we had this little pop-up ball machine and it would shoot up a little baseball and you could hit it, and she said when I was like 3 or 4 years old I was already like hitting balls like very well, and she moved on to pitching to me. And so I played like baseball, soccer, basketball, tennis all growing up, and pretty much stuck with like those things all the way throughout high school, and with an emphasis on soccer and tennis in high school, playing 4 years of varsity in both. And then I think it was like maybe junior or senior year, I decided that I wanted to play college soccer, because I think what happens to most people is at a certain point, you kind of get a sense of whether you're excelling in a sport or whether you're just kind of average.
Yeah.
And I was well aware that I was very successful in soccer. And I think that impacted my decision to continue playing. Because I didn't, you don't really realize you have the opportunity to play college until you get to that point and people are telling you, look, you can go on and play college sports and continue to do what you love for another 4 years.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just guessing because I don't actually remember. Probably like junior year, I decided I wanted to play college, which is a little bit late. I think people who go on and play typically probably decide earlier on and get involved with like academies. That's a big thing where you see a lot of Division I guys. They all come from these soccer academies, developmental academies. And looking back on it, I never actually did one of those because I wanted to continue like playing tennis and basketball and all these other things I did, because it was more about the friend groups for me. One, I loved playing the sports. Two, all of my best friends, I got to play with them throughout like 3 different seasons. You know, I would play in the soccer in the fall, basketball winter. And then in the spring, I would get to play tennis with my buddies. And I had all these different friend groups and made so many friends. And when you do something like a DA, developmental academy, you are really only playing soccer. It's kind of like being a college athlete when you're in high school,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think I would have liked, but in reality probably would have put me ahead even farther. And then maybe I honestly probably wouldn't have been at DePaul if I had done one of those, because
mm-hmm.
I would have been farther right. along in my soccer career.
Do you ever feel like because you were late in the game that do you regret that at all? Or do you think that that was where you were like meant to be placed at that time?
I think it's definitely meant to be. And I wouldn't have had all the friends that I have now if I didn't do that. I may have been like less likely to try to pursue a professional career, because a lot of those kids end up getting burnt out because they're playing every single day.
Yeah.
And it's not really their choice at that point. I think a lot of parents like kind of push their kids in that direction, which is not necessarily, in my opinion, the best thing you should do. You should let your kid, like, if he has that burning passion to play, mm-hmm. decide to do it on his own. So no, I don't think if I went back, I would do exactly what I did and play all the different sports and make all the different friends. And the only difference now is, having not done that, playing at a Division III college, I actually decided I wanted to play professionally after sophomore year, kind of similar to high school. I was successful to the point where my coaches told me, look, if you want to, you can actually play professionally if you really put enough hard work into it. Like, you have that potential. Mm-hmm. And I got excited about that. And ever since sophomore year, I've been working, like, really intensely on moving towards that goal of mine. But the difference is, if I had played Division I, gone to a DA and had that opportunity to play D1, I would probably be a lot more, or far, I should say farther ahead in terms of achieving that goal of playing professionally. Because now, because I'm a Division III guy, in the U.S. at least, they're going to look at me differently. Like, these professional coaches are not going to give me initially the same look that they would maybe a higher-end D1 athlete, even though I consider myself to be at a, like, comparable level to a lot of D1 players because of the amount of work I've put in.
So. Okay, let me just tell you, this boy lives, breathes, eats, sleeps soccer. Like, I have never met anyone more passionate about this sport. So, yeah, I think I would agree with that statement that you put yourself at a D1 level, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
But you said that you started late in the game, so you started to think about playing college soccer your junior year, but you're playing all these different sports, and, like, he's annoyingly good at every single sport under the sun.
Literally.
It's just, like, can pick up any piece of equipment and be good at it. But why did you ultimately choose soccer over, like, tennis, for example? Because I know you've said that there, or baseball, or, like, there are other sports that you've, like, been really good at or had the potential to get even, you know, as good as you are in soccer now. Like, why did you choose soccer over everything else?
So, first of all, I don't want people to think that I had, like, this big setback and I had to, like, overcome being behind everybody else in soccer, because from age, like, 3 or 4, whenever I was allowed to play, like, say, soccer, where everybody just, like, runs and clusters around the ball and whatever.
Beehiving. Yeah.
I played from that point on all the way until now at the select level because my parents supported me and paid for me to play in club soccer and in high school, and I never missed a season, so... Other than probably playing, like, DA, I am at the same – I've had the same experiences as most people who have played soccer, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
There wasn't, like, a – it's not like I picked up the sport later or anything. I've been playing my whole life. But I would say, in terms of your question of why I chose soccer, there's just something different about it than any of the other sports I was playing, to the point where it's not even about the social aspect for me. It's just the game itself, like – it just drives me, like, every single day and is always on my mind. It's pretty much the only thing I think about on a daily basis.
Wow.
And it's really hard.
Wow, what about me?
Yeah, and Meredith.
I'm just kidding.
It's hard to explain, like, the reason, but it's the thing that pushes you to wake up in the morning and go to the gym and train by yourself.
Jeez.
And do all these things and, like, try to, you know, it's not an easy thing to try and play professional sport. I would say it's probably one of the hardest, at least, like, mentally taxing things and that you could possibly try to do.
Yeah.
So you really need to, like, love what you're doing, the same as any other job, you know?
Yeah, I think that's very – it's, like, a blessing that you know now in your life and have known for the past, you know, however many years that you've been doing this, that, like, this is what I want to do. Because me and Elise have been – I mean, you've seen me, too. Like, I don't know what the fuck I want to do, but we'll figure it out as we go.
First of all, I feel like we didn't set this episode up very well, but – Jay's plan is he wants to go and play professionally after college, which is so cool. So we kind of wanted to, like, do this episode because, one, it's not a traditional, like, route one takes after going 4 years in university. So that's really cool, and it's courageous, and it's exciting. And two, just because we know there's a lot of people who will be, you know, like, hanging up their jerseys after college.
Right.
And
I will.
Yeah, but, like, if you live, breathe it the way Jay does, like, this is an episode for you. Like, don't be scared to push yourself to do this professionally if you love it more than anything else.
Well, and I think that goes for not just sports, but I think that goes for, you know, like, the arts. Like, I have, you know, friends who I know are at traditionally, you know, performing arts schools that are looking to go on Broadway and looking to try to make it big there. And I remember, like, thinking in high school, like, wow, you guys are crazy for even, like, pursuing that, to go that far, because everyone's telling you, like, you're going to be a starving artist, like, good luck with that, everyone wants to do that. So I mean, I think back then I would have been like, oh, good luck with that. But now that I'm about to enter the workforce and I'm like, well, yeah, I still don't know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Part of me wishes that I would have just been so like strong in my conviction of like what I knew my passion was and what I wanted to do and be able to pursue that. So props to you for that. But another question that I have based off of that is kind of like, what do you say to the people that tell you like, oh, good luck with that? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know if you've experienced that firsthand, but what do you say to people that are, you know, doubting? And,
People haven't like said that to me because I surround myself with people who support me. But
Okay, Jay, lesson learned. Okay. Yeah.
But obviously, I know for a fact that most people I come across and tell this to probably think the first thought of, well, like, that's cool, you're trying, but probably not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And only you know in your own self, in your own self, in your body, in your brain, what you're capable of achieving. Nobody else knows, like, the standards that you set yourself to, the goals you have for yourself. Mm-hmm. Nobody can tell you what you can and can't do. Like, it's all about the amount of work. And I'm a firm believer in the 10,000-hour rule, which I've actually tried to calculate for myself over and over again to, like, see where I'm at. And that says from this famous book that if you put in 10,000 hours to anything, you're an expert. Mm-hmm. So I'm at this point just working towards that every day.
How many hours that you were at?
I don't know. I tried to figure out yesterday before because I knew I was going to come on this today. And I think I'm probably at like, I don't know, maybe like 5,000.
Wow.
Which is halfway there. And now I'm already 22.
Yeah.
Ideally, you want to be playing professional soccer. Like in other countries, you start really early if you're going to be a pro.
Yeah.
But in the U.S., our system is kind of fucked. And so most guys go after college. At that point, you're already 22, and your shelf life on your career is not that long, considering you probably reach your peak ability at age 27, 28, somewhere in that range in terms of your professional soccer career.
That's
same
crazy.
With any other sport. You know, like how you look at the guys like Roger Federer and Nadal, those guys are getting pretty old.
But even the tennis pros start relatively young.
I mean, yeah, and especially in other countries.
Who's
right.
like 17.
Yeah. If you have the option to not go to college and start earlier, that's like a telltale sign that you're just a prodigy and you're probably going to make it because you have so much time to develop as a pro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just every day just trying to put in as many hours as I can. And the key is quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. Same with anything you're doing, whether it's looking for, you know, whatever kind of job you're looking to find.
That's true.
It's not about like not necessarily about the amount of hours you put in. That's important. But it's what you're doing with your time. You have to make every single second count, especially for me. Like I said, I'm age 22. Ideally, I probably need to be finding a team and at least starting my career in the next year or two. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's probably, you know, time to let the dream go and actually start making money because I don't have enough money to just do this forever.
Right. That's very true.
Okay, so one who is not familiar with sports like at all, me. What are like, what's like the next step for you? Like, what does this process look like after college and when does it start?
So it's already started for me. Right now I'm looking to find a team for this summer. There's so many different leagues and teams in the U.S. now that I'm pretty confident that I'll have like some sort of high level team to play for this summer. I'm looking in the NPSL, which is the National like Premier League. It's the highest level of amateur soccer you can play in the U.S. Some of those teams are now actually paying their players, which is really cool, and providing housing and like summer internships and that sort of thing. And I have some pretty good connections in that league that I'm looking to build on and play for a team in the NPSL this summer. And from there, guys who do well in that and exceed there can move up. And it's basically about just moving up the ladder, doing your time in one league, getting the next offer to move up. And then at a certain point, you find yourself playing for a fully professional team, in which case the definition of that basically says you're making enough money to support yourself just from playing this sport, which is my end goal, to at least be at that level by the time I'm done. So right now I'm working with my head coach, and he has agreed to serve as my agent, which he does we usually have at least one guy every year from Nepal who tries to do this. Last year it was Andrew Gold, who's currently still trying to do the same thing. And Coach Hodder basically serves as your full-time agent, finding you opportunities. He played professionally at the highest level in the U.S.
Wow.
And has a lot of really good connections to teams, like especially in the Midwest. So he opens the door for you, and then from there it's completely on you. Once he opens that door, all you have to do is just perform in those moments. And that's probably the hardest thing is to – always be ready, because you never know when that time is going to hit where everything lines up and the team is looking for mm-hmm. this type of player you are. And you have to be able to tell yourself in that moment that I've done enough preparation and work that all I have to do is go out and play. You can't have any self-doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shoot.
Yeah.
How do you... No pressure. Because I still find this, like, we've been dating tomorrow for 2.5 years. Don't forget our anniversary,
ooh,
by the way.
Ooh, cute.
but I've always wondered... That's a long time. I know. How, like, I always find it very... You're kind of like an anomaly to me sometimes when I like watch you work or lift or practice or whatever. The way you prioritize it doesn't make sense to me, because I don't think I have like the same type of drive that you do when it comes to tennis. But I mean, have you always had that since you were little, or do you think that's something that as you've gotten more invested in it, you've like slowly realized and then decided to develop? Because I know that some, like, professional athletes, like you said, they're just kind of prodigies, and they just have this, like, innate ability to, you know, prioritize that and work hard and, like, find that, like, drive within them to constantly be on the grind, which is not an easy thing to do. So have you always had it, or have you cultivated it?
Well, first of all, I think we always say this at DePaul Soccer, too. Hard work beats talent.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, work hard enough. Good things are going to come. Second of all, to kind of answer your question, early on, it didn't necessarily manifest itself like it does now in all of these hard training sessions that I put myself through on a daily basis, because I didn't need to. I was just, you know, the reason I have to do that now more than ever is because I'm done with my college career. I'm a senior.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished my last season. Now, until I find another team, which isn't guaranteed, I do not have any organized soccer in my life, which is scary as fuck.
Yeah.
And two, early on, you could say it's kind of the same way with me, because playing soccer in an organized practice or at a game is my favorite thing to do in the entire world. You could ask me, do I want to go on vacation at the beach?
Wow.
Do I want to go on a cruise? Do I want to do anything over playing in even an indoor soccer game? And you could probably attest to this, because I've obviously... When we're on winter break and stuff, when I have those opportunities, I probably play in like 4 or 5 indoor games a night, and you've come and watch.
Come to my game. Yeah. Just sit on the sidelines.
Any opportunity I get to play with other players and to play soccer trumps anything else in my life. So I know that for the longest time, it's been like a driving force. But now, more than ever, I have to provide my own sessions, because now I'm done with organized soccer until I find something else.
Yeah. How do you find that drive? I mean, is it just there, or are there days where you're like, fuck, I don't want to do this, but I have to make myself go do this?
Yeah, there's some days where it's hard to get out of bed and your body is sore and you don't want to do it. But like I said, the limited time thing, you know, I only have a limited window of time before the next season starts for these pro teams,
mm-hmm.
and the tryouts pass. And then if I don't get on a team by then, another year can pass before I can have the same opportunities again.
Right.
So it's all about being sharp every single day and trying to make yourself better and build towards that end goal. But
I
it's really, really difficult some days.
That is your shit.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know Elise works really hard too. So, and so do you, but in different ways. Yeah.
No, I think it's so important for, especially like in your early 20s, to have something that you are so passionate about. So like, props to you, one, that you are willing to put in the work. Like, your work ethic is insane. Like, I look up to you for that. But like, it's true, like, you have to have something that you love so much and that you're going to work towards, because we are so young. We have so much time to like develop this skill and develop this career path or whatever. Like, so find what you're passionate about. Try new things that you haven't tried before, and you might love it, you might hate it. It's not too late in the game. I know you've played soccer your whole life, which is awesome, and that's why it's so good to get kids involved in dance or whatever when they're young. But you're not too late. You are literally early 20s. Like, go find it. Go figure it out. You have time.
I think that in a sense you're not too late, but on the flip side, I think it's important to not let the idea that you have a lot of time kind of take over. And then before you know it, you're 28, 29, 30. And then you're like, oh, wait, fuck, what? Like, what's going on?
Oh, no, I mean, take action. Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's part of my biggest fear is obviously, you might not know. I mean, for me, I don't know exactly what my path. Well, I'm starting to figure out that speaking about mental health and self-care is like what I absolutely love to do. But I think, yeah, the idea that you're like, oh, I'm 22, you know, I'll figure it out. I have plenty of time. And mm-hmm. then life passes you by very quickly, and you have to, and then you're in a situation where you're like, well, I didn't do what I wanted to do. I didn't try it. So I think that's admirable too, to just even to say, you know, fuck it. Like, I don't know what's going to happen a year from now, but I'm going to give it a go. That's not an easy thing to do.
I think people's biggest fear, I mean, this is probably pretty common, that they're never going to find something that truly makes them happy, because once you, like you said, you're 20 or whatever, and you're nearing graduation from college, and now you're going to have to go out and probably go through a bunch of these boring jobs, mm-hmm. unless you're lucky enough to find one like right off the bat that you actually like.
Right.
And you could find yourself for 10 years doing things that you actually hate without like a lot of free time to go out and do the things that originally made you happy.
Right.
Wow.
So I think the key is like finding a way to make what makes you happy part of your career.
Yeah.
So like, for instance, if you love music, I don't think you should go out and just because everybody expects you to work like a 9-to-5 job, go out and do that. Like, see if there's a way that you can incorporate your passion and still like support yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely,
it's easier said than done.
Preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much easier said than done, because there's not a lot of money at first and those type of things, like you said.
Yeah.
For people like in the arts or sports or whatever, music, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So
I literally lose sleep thinking about that, because like,
because you're crazy good at music and you probably think all the time, like, what if I could do that professionally? You probably could. You should fucking make YouTube videos with me, and then we could see if like people like stick to you, and then you'll actually know whether or not you could like actually have a career, you know?
True. But I think about it all the time. I think about, like, you think about soccer.
Yeah.
To me, performing and like writing music and singing is like the most fun I could ever have.
By the way, her songs are bomb as fuck, if you haven't listened to them yet.
Also, found out today that the guy who produced her song,
Stay the Same,
produced, what's his name?
Famous Dex. Yeah, so shout out Cheese.
Do you know the song Japan?
By Shawn Mendes?
No.
Oh, wait, that's Lost in Japan.
Baby girl, what you doing? Like, if I played it for you, you'd be like, oh, I know this song, and then pick it up.
Pick it up.
Baby girl, watch how you move.
Ugh.
I like doing shoes. He fucking was her producer for her song.
Do you know him or?
Yeah, so Eric, shout out Eric. He's okay, so episode 2, I believe, we had Luke and Levi here, and they all are members of the Azimuth Music Recording Studio gang, where I met Eric, who was the producer of my song Stay the Same. Thank you, Jay, by the way. That was really sweet. But yeah, I just found out today that he's working with like crazy big artists, and I'm so proud of him.
Well,
so.
Also, like, that's a little bit of clout for you. Like,
a little bit.
The first thing you said was, oh, I'm so proud of him. I was like, you should be proud of yourself.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Yeah,
that's so awesome. And then I'll just like be y'all's groupie when you guys become famous. And
Jay, if soccer doesn't work out, you love music too, so let's hit the road and do a tour. No, but I literally think it's like, it's just so important for people to do what they love. You know, like, if you get anything from this episode, like, take action and go towards what you actually like to do. Because what you said about the 10 years, too, you can waste your life away. And you have one fucking life. And you're going to waste 10 years of it. You're going to waste 15 years of it. You're going to wake up when you're 50 and open your eyes and be like, fuck, I am miserable, one. And I hated what I've done the past couple of years. It's done nothing for me. Like, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
You are young. You're young.
Yeah. And I think if you're like me, where you don't have it figured out like the two of you do, but you have...
I don't have it figured out.
Well,
Just because I'm trying to play it doesn't mean I have
it figured
out.
No. But like, I'm saying you know exactly what you want to do. I'm saying I don't know exactly what I want to do. However, this process has started to open up my eyes to like... I love public speaking. If I could somehow figure out a way to be able to talk to young girls or whatever it may be,
yes,
especially about mental health.
Ow.
And especially about, you know, just like self-care and things of that nature, like that would get me up in the morning. I've also thought like teaching would possibly get me up in the morning. But I'm pursuing that. I'm trying to figure that out as well. But
yes, and you're good at it too, Mary.
But I think
you're good at this shit.
Well, and if you're in the situation where you're like teetering between like, oh, I like this, but I also like this, but like, it, and you're scared to commit to the idea of like, this is my passion, I'm going to pursue it. I would say, as someone who's definitely been there and is currently there, see where each opportunity takes you and throw a lot at the wall and see what sticks, because that's kind of what has been helpful for me in terms of my career path is like, for example, I'm a communications major. You are, I mean, we all are. You can do fucking 10 million things with a communications major. So it's scary because it's very, very broad. So maybe try, you know, selling, marketing yourself as someone who has the ability to connect interpersonally really well with people and have a lot of charisma and be able to level up with people, but connect that with something that you are really passionate about. So like, if it's sports, if it's music, if it's arts, like, but you're just not sure if you want to dive fully in, then think about it that way.
On the flip side, though, so I'm actually learning about a lot of this in my sports psychology class right now, but it can be applied to everything outside of sports too. Most people in reality aren't gonna like end up with a job, at least in the first couple years, that they enjoy doing.
Yeah,
and that's just like the hard reality of it, because you're not like, you can't just go and choose whatever job you want.
And
you have to
it.
Take what
yeah.
you can get.
Yeah.
So
it is the luck of the draw, I think, for a lot of people.
And you're going through that now, like applying for jobs, but you already have one, which is really cool. Congrats.
Thanks.
But anyways, where I was going with that was people, the most important thing for postgraduates is to have a plan in place to go out and find the original things that made you happy in college. So a lot of people mm-hmm. like for that is like playing a sport, being involved in music, art, whatever it is. When you're stuck in that job that sucks, and that don't let that be the only thing in your life that just kind of like controls everything. You need to go out and find like rec groups of people who, there are people out there who are experiencing the exact same thing you are. They might be bored at their job, looking for friends again and the camaraderie that you had in college. Mm-hmm. And you need to go out and find those same activities that made you happy in college to live a balanced lifestyle. Otherwise, you're going to end up like, I mean, what happens to a lot of people is they're depressed in their first couple of years because they don't know how to operate. You don't have a schedule anymore.
To your job, you know? You get up. I mean, that's how I was in Chicago. I got up. I really liked my job, but I was also by myself, so it was a little bit difficult. But I got up. I went to work. I came home. I went to the gym. I went to bed. Mm-hmm. And I did that for 3 months straight. And that was the most eye-opening experience for me because it showed me that even if, like, on the other side of that, too, even if you do like your job and you don't, like, I never woke up and was like, I'm dreading going to work today. And I've had jobs like, ugh, I really don't like this.
Me too.
I didn't like every single aspect of it. It's not possible that you're going to, like, wake, I mean, unless you're just, like, a superhuman, you're not going to absolutely love everything you do. But that goes to show that even if you do have a job that you really like, but you don't have an outside group of people that you can lean back, you know, fall back on, you don't have your family with you, you aren't, you know, making the efforts to, like, you know, seek out other groups of people, which I didn't do enough of, then you're also going to be miserable. So you have to find a balance, and you have to also remember that whatever corporation that you're working for, they don't really care about you personally.
Oh,
so
shit.
The idea that you can't take a mental health day, or you can't call off work because you just, you know, you're actually sick, like the idea that someone's going to completely, like, it's going to completely derail someone else's day if you're not there because you're struggling through something, for example. I'm not saying just like call off work whenever the fuck you want. But, like, also remember that mm-hmm. you are disposable, mm-hmm. and that's kind of cynical, but you are disposable most of the time.
So you have
to choose.
I'm not a disposable person, bitch.
Yeah.
Nah.
So you have to make sure that in other aspects of your life that you are not also acting as a disposable person. You know what I mean? Like, that you're investing in yourself enough to know that. So if they disposed of me, I'd still be good without that.
Yeah, like
you don't want to lose everything if you're fired.
Yeah. Your happiness matters no matter what age you are. No matter if you're 80, no matter if you're 50, like, your happiness and well-being as a human on this earth matters. And that should be number one.
Yeah, that's more important than anything else. Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay,
more important
also,
than money.
But money leads, in my opinion, to happiness.
No, it's just such a tricky web.
You need money to, like,
to the
money. Yes, if you want money, like, money can buy you amazing experiences, like vacation and travel and things that you can do with your loved ones.
Most people's ideal lives involve them having, like, enough money to do this. Like, a comfortable house and
a livable wage.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
So you're not...
That's me.
waking up every morning, then you're really a slave to your job. Obviously, there's a lot of confounding variables there. It's not just like you can snap your fingers for a lot of people and they're just going to be like, okay, yeah, like I got money now. Like I'm just going to quit my job. Like for a lot of people, there's a much different situation than it is for you. Us, we're very like lucky in that way.
I love how all of us are talking about this, but we haven't like had any like postgraduate jobs yet. And we're trying to sound like experts.
We're not experts yet.
But we do. Like this is, but I think this is all true. Enough. Yeah.
And we've done internships, and like I think we've all had enough life experience.
I literally wrote a song about this. Okay, it's college.
Yeah, they're just gonna go into it.
La la yeah yeah.
It's like a Broadway music.
So okay, no. So the college stereotype is like college is like the best time of your life, right? Mm. But
it
I think
shouldn't
that's,
be.
It shouldn't be, and that's it's kind of like you hear it in movies. You hear it from your parents, like the college days, like these are the best times of your life. And I've always thought about that quote and that comment, like what does that actually mean? Like why is this the best time of your life? Because like I went into college thinking it would be like I would be on cloud nine, it would be the best like time, I would have everything figured out, and it was a shit show like the first 3 years. Like this is the first year,
but
my senior
still enjoyable
year.
The whole time,
so fun. I love college.
No, but so fun. But I'm like, if this is the best time of my life, I don't know, I just that just seems like a sad life to me. Because one, we're gonna talk about like binge drinking and stuff like that that we've seen in college in a different episode. But like, I'm like, do you have to like get drunk almost every night of the week to like have the best time of your life? Like, right. I don't know. I'm like, this is definitely not going to be my era. This is not going to be the time I thrive.
Right. I think for most people, it ends up being the best time though, because like as you get older, exactly what we were talking about, like you become like a slave to your job and you lose sight of what actually makes you happy. And your friends dwindle over the years. And it's like the saddest thing when you see like 50-year-old parents who only have like one or two remaining friends that they talk to.
Right.
And other than that, they just have their freaking like wife. Like no offense to like married couples, but that's like if I don't have friends and we're married when we're older and it's just like you and me, I'm going to be pretty fucking upset.
Like, I'm also going to be pretty
like,
upset.
I need a life outside
of just like one other half of you.
And the longer you go without like practicing those things and surrounding yourself with people you like, the easier it is to just like stay in your house and go to your job every day and like forget about those things. And then you find yourself at age 50 with like nothing that makes you happy anymore.
And I think college is a really rare time where you're learning every day whether you ask for it or not. Like you learn random stuff that you don't really care about necessarily, but it's good that you're learning every day. And I've come to like love learning because of college. And it took some time because I was like, oh, everyone complains about class and we're going to class, blah blah blah, I gotta do this. I'm like, am I just gonna complain the whole time, or am I gonna like take this time to like actually want to learn and learn as much as I can? So that's a different topic. But I think like college is very unique in that way that you're learning every day, but you can go weeks and then months and then years, and then 10 years pass, like you said, and it's like you haven't learned much. You haven't grown much as a person. Like, what are you doing with your life? You know, time goes faster and faster as you get older.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Well, I think what scares me, too, is like we're talking about college being the best time of your life. For me, part of the reason that the idea of graduating is so scary is the concept that like your life is almost over after college. Like, so you not that sounds bad, but like you think about it this way, so
you die.
You're 22 and I'm gonna knock on wood because I didn't like that. So you think about it, you've constantly been, you know, told your whole life, like you've gone to school your whole life until you're 22 years old, and you always know what's next for the most part. For most people, you know that like you're gonna graduate from, for a lot of us, we are gonna go to college. Like we know that that is like what is set in stone for us. But then you get to 22 and like you're finally actually like allowed
to figure it out on
your own.
You
have to figure it out on your own.
You have structure all the way up until that point. And then all of a sudden it's just gone. Everything's pulled out from under you.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And it's very frightening to me. And like, what you said when people look back and they're like, oh, college was the best time of my life. Like, I hope I never stop learning and I hope I never stop evolving as a human being. Like, when I'm out of college. Because I think for me, what I've loved so much about college is that I'm totally, completely different than I was at 18 years old when I came here. Mm-hmm. And I've learned so much about myself. And I realized how much growth I still have to make to get to a point where I think I'm going to be just content a lot of the time, which I do think is important. I think you should always be growing, but I think it's important to be content with who you are and where you're at. I'm definitely not.
Peace of mind.
But it's taught me that I can't just like let life happen to me, and I have to start making decisions, like active decisions every day that are going to help me ultimately get to that place. And the idea that once you graduate, you're not surrounded by people who are constantly learning and taking in information and evolving and growing. There's always something next to look forward to in college. And so when you graduate, it's kind of like, okay, figure it out. And that's the end of that. And so many people just resort to what's safe and what's comfortable because they can't get hurt.
Yeah.
Which I'm scared of for myself. I know Jay's not going to have a problem with that because he's never, from the years I've known him, he's never been like that. But for me, I tend to like, I'm an introvert, so I tend to like resort to like what's comfortable for me. And I know that that's going to be a huge struggle for me when I graduate. I'm going to have to really actively be seeking out other groups of people outside of work. And like, that's going to be, you know, something that I absolutely have to prioritize in order to like keep myself balanced in my life. But mm-hmm. I think the sooner you realize what you are good at and then what you need to work on moving forward, if you implement that, you should be fine in theory, but it's mm-hmm. it's a matter of practice, which mm-hmm. gets hard when you're exhausted from a 9-to-5 job every day and you feel like you have no energy to do anything else.
Yeah. Seriously, so. I'm really worried about for myself. So updates to come on what I end up doing with my postgraduate self.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay. I think it'll all turn out the way it's supposed to turn out.
It will. It'll just take years. Like Jay said, it'll take some years to figure that shit out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's okay because we're young. We have that on our side, which is nice.
And then before you know it, we're going to be old farts.
Old farts with canes. And grandchildren.
And fedoras.
Jay's going to rock a
feather
fedora.
And a cap. No, I have a picture of Jay with a fedora on my phone that I was actually looking at.
Where's the supermarket, boy?
You're going to be a crazy old man.
Creepy.
I feel like Jay's going to thrive as an old man because he already doesn't give a fuck what
he
says.
You're kind of already an old soul, I think. So,
but get the fuck off my lawn.
Yes. And an old man's body, you're just going to have, I feel like you're going to have so much power.
I'm going to have saggy boobs.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
That's my plan.
Well, definitely.
That's my plan. That's my written in my journal.
I'm going to have saggy boobs. That's for sure.
There's giant titties.
Hit my belly button one day.
Damn.
Look forward to that, babe.
Spicy. <Sweet. laughs> Anyway, I think we should conclude.
Yeah, we should definitely cut this out right now.
Okay, but Jay, thank you so much. Like, I definitely learned a lot from your perspective, and like I think it's really important that people hear what he says and go for it the way he's going for it. Like, I applaud mm-hmm. you. That's so exciting for you, and I can't wait to see how it turns out.
I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, me too.
And then hopefully get to travel with you to lots of cool places when you become professional, and then I can just reap the benefits
and bring me along too.
Always bet on yourself, people. Put yourself out there.
I like that. That's a good way to end.
Clothing mm-hmm. thoughts. Yep. Closing thoughts. And Mare, any closing thoughts?
I think be patient with yourself. Have grace with yourself when it comes to figuring out what it is that you're passionate about. But also, I think it's not a bad thing to have a sense of urgency. You know, I mean, find a balance between not putting too much pressure on yourself, but also having a proactive mindset. And trying
taking
to
action.
Make little decisions every day that will ultimately guide you to where you will end up, which is where you are supposed to end up.
Yes.
I have faith in that.
Yes. Yay.
So, anything from you?
I think I've said what I needed to say this episode.
All right, let's go to the duck.
So we're about to go get dinner. We're hungry.
Ready?
Okay.
I'm Jay.
I'm Meredith.
And I'm Elise. You may not have your shit figured out,
but that's okay.
You may not have your shit figured out. Cool. Let's go get dinner.
One more time.
Wait, it's like the Shrek harmony. Yes. I'll say low. You got medium and Elise says high.
No.
Let's do it. This is your 20s.
Okay.
I'm Jay.
I'm Meredith.
And I'm Elise. You may not have your shit figured out,
but that's okay. This is your 20s. That was so good.
And good night.
I fucking hate all of that, but I like it at the same time. Anyway, bye, bitches and dicks.
Thanks, Jay, for coming. We love you.
Yeah, thank you. I love you. Too.